as much as I want to dress up like a sexy fuck Nazi, I still think it's probably not a good idea, right?
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are once again live at Convergence 2017. We are joined by comedian and podcaster Joseph Scrimshaw to talk about the afterlife and creating gods.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. We are live at Convergence 2017. My name is Tim Wick. I'm your host. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello!
And right next to her is Nick Glover.
Hey!
We are joined by our special live guest. He is comedian, podcaster, writer, and drinker, Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm glad we have a live guest instead of our usual dead guest.
Yes. And too speaking soon. Of dead too guests, soon. We have our nearly dead guest.
Oh, Jesus. She got better.
Geeks Without Class by Tim Wick.
It's pretty much every episode hosted by me, Joseph. It's, we have Laura Okagoski-Vrasper still here with us. And she may or may not say something during the course of this episode. So, Joseph.
Yeah.
I'm
so entertained by the way you guys introduce yourselves. And hey, heyo, hey.
Hey.
All these
heyos.
Hey, they're very, I'm so charmed.
We've done this many times.
I know.
And we've run out of really interesting ways to do it.
268 times?
Sometimes I just give a grunt of acknowledgement.
Tell me about it.
So, Joseph, before we actually get into the topic that we're going to discuss here today, I thought we might want to go through what you're doing right now. You've moved from Minnesota out to LA, and you're doing a lot of really cool stuff out there, and I just thought I would give you a chance to promote that and talk about it, because you're doing some great stuff.
Yeah, so I've been doing a lot of different writing work. I've been doing some writing work and some appearances on Screen Junkies, which is an awesome media channel at discusses all the shit that everybody in this room loves, all the pop culture stuff. I've been doing a lot of weird writing jobs. I worked on a mobile video game about Chuck Norris.
What?
Don't get it. It's terrible.
But it was a job, right?
It was fun. Yes, they flew me to Vienna because they
Vienna?
To Vienna.
Was it for realism or something?
It was so beautiful because it was watching a company make blatant mistakes, and one of the mistakes that they were blatantly making was paying for me and my wife to go to Vienna. So like, go for it.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea.
It's an enjoyable mistake for me.
Was the company based in Vienna?
No. When I think Chuck Norris, I think Vienna.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they made a really successful game that was a total RPG, and they're like, well, we're just going to buy a bunch of other IP and we'll just map it. You know what would be a good RPG? Chuck Norris in his role-playing game fan base that everybody knows Chuck Norris has.
They're like 15 years late on that meme train.
Oh, yeah.
That was the thing, is they found me and hired me because they wanted a comedian and a writer to give it a story and to give it more narrative and to add some humor. And then I like played their beta of the game.
You needed to add humor into a Chuck Norris RPG?
No, yes, kick it straight into its heart.
They didn't have any Chuck Norris facts. Like, isn't that why you bought the IP?
They were like programming people, right?
Yes.
They were aware of the internet.
Yes.
And they did not have any Chuck Norris information.
No, they literally said, oh, that's a good idea.
Wow.
Oh, that's a good idea. It should be about Chuck Norris.
You know what? And
so you
right
got
there,
to go. You got to go to Vienna.
Yeah, it was great. I got to go to Vienna, and I mostly spent my time in a small room with people from every part of Europe, and it was very entertaining. And then my wife got basically a free tour of Vienna. It was awesome.
That's what you've been doing in L.A.
Yep, going to Vienna. That's just one. I do a lot of different things. I could take up your whole damn podcast with everything that I
do. You could, but that's not what we were going to talk about. So what we're going to talk about is creating gods. That was what we...
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
So what do you... What, yeah, kind of. Now I got it wrong.
No, I don't know if you did.
Expand.
No, so yeah, we
agnosticism.
Just, we just decided on the topic. And yes. I think I've talked to you guys about this before when I've appeared on the podcast. I'm generally in agreement with your perspective of like, well, we don't really have any evidence of any higher power. We shouldn't make a bunch of life decisions on something that there's no evidence for, I guess, unless you believe in faith, which is what that word is. but for me, I'm like totally, that all makes sense to me, but I still... think like it would be awesome if there was like higher power in other worlds.
Yeah.
So then I think like someday I want to write a story where people figure out a way to be like, well, God doesn't exist, heaven doesn't exist, but it'd be cool if there was, and like let's get some scientists to invent an afterlife.
Oh, sure.
And like just so I think it's really fascinating to think about like if you could just create
like
afterlife, what do you want afterlife to be?
Yeah.
Like if you free yourself of the certainty that there is an afterlife, but you allow yourself to desire for there to be one, then it opens up this like, well, what could it be? Would you like to happen?
Can we make hell an AOL chat room?
There's definitely, so there's a Black Mirror episode about that, but also like the whole show Caprica is kind of about that, like a constructed afterlife.
Yeah.
Or do you mean...
Isn't the idea of cryogenics, how we're trying to scientifically create an afterlife already?
Well, that's just life extension. That's life extension. Like, you mean like an actual, almost like a VR... like a virtual reality, for those of you not in the lingo, like a place where you're experiencing consciousness beyond death.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. I'd like that, because I don't want to die.
Yeah.
I have existential dread. You're not
77 yet, so...
I think
no,
so
and
nice.
I think even...
You're no longer...
So
you're
nice.
Not tired
you're
of life
still,
yet.
You're still so young, tired. At least for cancer.
At least I'm young in cancer.
Young adult cancer.
Young
you
adult
know,
adult
where, like,
cancer.
You can't decide between two boys.
Yeah. Oh, go man. Post it in the hell of AOL chat room. I went to the... this is a cool thing I did in L.A., a fun thing, an interesting thing. I went to the public memorial for Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was really, really nice. And it was a good like celebration of life and a good way to process people moving on. But they shared in this very positive way Debbie Reynolds' beliefs of an afterlife and how she would always say, there's nothing to worry about. And then it stuck with me because like, I have existential dread. I don't like the idea of nothing. So there is nothing to worry about for me. That is literally what I worry about. That there is nothing.
I get that. I don't. We don't really go this way in the podcast that often. But yeah, I mean, death bugs me as a concept.
Hmm. Yeah.
Knowing that death is the finality, is the end, when I find life awfully intriguing. And I find, I always say, I want to know what happens next. And at some point, I will never know what happens next.
Yeah, you won't know what happens next. You just cease.
At some point, there's a superhero film I won't get to see.
I feel like...
And it's Spider-Man.
I don't have...
sorry, Tim.
I don't have existential dread in this sense. I mean, I guess, I don't know. So I have a long commute. I have like a 45-minute commute. Now, hold on. Follow me here. So whenever I tell someone that I live in Eden Prairie and I work in Roseville, they're always like, Jesus, that sounds awful. And it's like, I mean, but you get used to it. And so I feel like I've just kind of gotten used to the idea that we all end. And I'm more upset about the concept of, I'm more upset about the idea of like other people dying.
Yeah.
Like people that I won't get to see.
Yeah.
Like when I'm dead, I won't care because you know there's just nothing in blackness. I'm pretty confident. If there's more, hooray! But like I just.
What if it's an AOL chat room though? So.
You know what? I cut my teeth there. So I don't know. So I don't have that. But I can understand it. I guess from like a clinical aspect. Like
I think I worry about death. I think about it a lot. Especially like seasonal depression starts kicking in.
Yeah.
Like that looming sense of mortality like really does get to me. And then I'll think like, well, it won't matter because I'll just cease and I won't really have any anxiety about being dead.
I hope not.
So,
Jesus, what a shitty afterlife that would be.
And so I should just shut up and stop worrying because it's pointless to think about because when it happens, I won't be around to worry about it. And then it's like, because I'll be dead.
Because it's like, exactly. Yeah. See,
but that's the problem. It's the like same thing. It's same thing when Laura was talking in the last episode. It's like, I'm going to try really hard to not think about it. And by not think, by saying to yourself, I'm going to try really hard to not think about it, you are forcing yourself to think about it.
To think about not thinking about it.
So, and then you're like, oh, what am I not thinking about? Oh, that's right. There's this thing that I'm not thinking about. And now I'm thinking about it again. So I got to work on not thinking about it.
So this is why I try to make it more positive by getting myself out of that loop by thinking about, like, well, what if we could, not even scientifically, but almost more like magically, mystically. Like, yeah. What if there's just like, you know, I do like the idea that there is more than we currently understand.
Sure.
It can all be scientifically explained eventually.
God, I hope so. But
Yeah, but I like that idea. Like, that's one of the reasons I like Twin Peaks, you know, there's these other worlds and there's a logic to them, but it's a dream logic and we don't understand that logic. We're not going to. And I like thinking about, like, well, what if there is other, like, worlds or places we don't understand? But I also, and I'm really curious what you guys think about this, I have always had the fantasy of when you die, you can get easy access to all stats of life.
I've thought about that.
Yeah.
I've seriously thought about that. Like I want to know how many miles of toilet paper I used in my life.
Exactly.
The most completely useless.
A lot.
I like that idea until you get to the part where it shows me how many hours I've spent dicking on my phone.
And what are you doing to your phone?
I wasted years.
Point of order. Is it dicking around on your phone?
Yes, it is dicking around. If you're dicking your phone, Nick, all right, listen.
What's one word between friends?
Nick, okay, so if anyone knows, Nick and I were just talking about this. I'm as a person who doesn't possess a penis, I seriously need to know with Touch ID, if you set up a Touch ID print for your penis, will it work and unlock your phone? And I need someone to do some research and tell me this.
I can
put your phone away.
I can.
Sit down, Leia.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I've tried this.
I'll try it with my nose.
Joseph, I think to answer your question, I've often felt that, like, when I was a kid, I was really into ancient Egyptian mythology.
Cool.
And part of that was the whole weighing your soul against a feather, that whole, or your heart against a feather, that whole concept of, like, I've never.
What?
Well, the size is right. but I've never... So even as a little kid, I kind of never understood the concept of sin. So I just was like, well, what is it? You know, oh, if you sin, your heart's heavy or whatever. And that seemed dumb to me because, like, if things are a sin and you're not aware of them, can you be sinning? I used to ask my mom that all the time.
Oh, like, yeah.
If I'm not aware of what a real sin is and then I do it, is it sinning if no one told me the rule, can I be breaking the rule? Like, you know, it's, but so I think that, like, I've always liked the idea of getting those stats. Like, that's kind of what that is. It's the ancient version of seeing. If you ever played a Telltale video game, and they say, like, you and 41% of other users decided not to slap Joffrey's face. Like, you and 65% of users chose to help, you know, like, it's, and that's what I want.
Yeah, like, yeah. I like the idea of, like, being able to go and sort of discuss and barter with some sort of gatekeeper to find the next world of, like, all right, give me my balance of how many times I said I love you versus fuck you.
Yes.
And we'll decide together, you know, what other portal
I'll go to. It's like an old joke, like, so, an old comedian walks up to the gates, the pearly gates, and he says to Peter, how many times did I say fuck you?
And then Peter sends him to hell. But I like the idea of not only, like, getting, I think it's the ability to sort of reflect and understand what the life experience was in a different way and have, like, you're talking about those bigger sort of philosophical ideas, not just miles of toilet paper. Or can a penis turn on a phone? Not those big.
It turns it on.
I just want to let you know, a nose does not work for Touch ID, so it doesn't look good for the penis.
No face.
That's always the way to test whether or not a penis can do something. Put your nose wherever.
I often put my nose where my penis follows.
Hey-o!
So I just...
Doesn't look good for a penis.
And that's why Molly loves him. So
it helps.
So yeah, I mean, I think you know, one of the early challenges to me for religion was in looking at the kind of God that I was presented with, that I thought, frankly, the Christian God is a fucking prick. And it's not angry atheism at that point. It's just going, this doesn't make sense. What kind of asshole do you believe is universally good?
Bleached.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I started, it was that like, well, let's see if there's another God that fits this universally good definition that I've got.
And then you found paganism,
and,
right?
And that didn't work either.
Nope.
Because there were too many crystals, and I just couldn't figure that out.
Can't keep up,
Joseph. Yeah. I have a question about if we're gonna, like, let's say we are gonna hypothetically make an afterlife or make a god or make whatever. Is the purpose of an afterlife to reward and punish? Because in religions, it seems like usually some sort of next step or whatever is either a reward or some kind of a punishment. Could it just be moot? Could it just be like more? Like, regardless of your actions, regardless of the stats?
Yeah, I think of it almost like, I think what sounds appealing to me for some reason is like, you go there, you get your stats from not an all-powerful figure, just somebody who has knowledge, but isn't necessarily making all the decisions. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, that's how you did in this reality. You thought you had these goals. This is kind of how you met them, or didn't, or you didn't even know you had this goal, and this is how you fucked up, and you didn't even know you fucked up, but hey, you did.
Yeah.
And now here you're going to go on to this whole other kind of existence. It's a kind of existence that I can't fathom, but I can still watch Star Wars movies. Yeah. Like in my mind.
Like how after you beat the big boss, you can still go back and clean up all the stuff you didn't get yet.
Oh, New Game Plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's basically, it's like if James Bond movies are strung together and then he had to go report to M, and M is like, well, you really screwed that up, Bond. Well, anyway, here's your next mission.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like also, that. You're someone new now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's more, that sounds more of like almost like a reincarnation karma kind of thing.
I think that's what we're figuring out is I want to turn into a British man.
I think the biggest challenge with that.
That always made the most sense to me. Honestly,
I think the biggest challenge with that is the sheer number of people who would want to come back as Batman.
No, see, you don't get to choose. You want to be an orphan? It's weird. It's weird.
If I get to be Batman.
That's true.
Batman's it ruins the story, though. Molly, like, Bruce Wayne is like, come on, take me to the movies. Take me to the movies.
Molly, I've been... I've been half orphaned for 30 years now.
Tennis half orphaned.
Yeah. We,
that was a Dragonlance joke, nerds.
Boy, dated.
You did.
Yeah. I have nothing to say. I lost my train there.
I think we feel, I mean, obviously, I think most of us as non-believers, or at least unsure believers, the sense of, do you think anyone should be punished? Like, so let's say you fuck things up. Is what you get in the next life worse?
No, I don't know. Existence. I mean, I think that's the thing that pushes me away from a lot of ideas of organized religion, because I was raised like Catholic light, like L-I-T-E light. Like we just went to like very, very relaxed churches that were mostly just not great musicians trying to do Beatles covers. And that was mostly church.
Hippie Christian.
I was
hippie
totally
Catholic,
hippie Christian.
Yeah. How do we not meet each other in church? Because that was mine, too.
It's kind
too.
Of amazing you guys didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, and God, to me, was presented like a Little League coach, where he's like, well, go out there and try. Ah, too bad. But you still get ice cream because you went out there and you tried. Like,
my Little League coach was way harsher than yours.
Yeah, so fair enough. But I still like that idea of there. Yeah. If there is some powerful thing, that it's just somebody who's like, yeah, good try. You messed up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you get to feel how you feel about that you messed up. I'm not judging you. I'm not punishing you.
Who am I to judge?
Who am I to judge? I'm just an all-powerful Little League coach.
Played by Walter Matthau. Yeah.
Isn't that like Romans 8:18 or something? Yeah.
There's something about Little League in Romans. I
Yay, and to he said unto them, good job, Timmy.
Yeah. When the ball was on the tee, that was when I was holding you.
Jesus is everyone's tee, holding up the ball. Yeah.
Aww.
And lo, when you ran from the ball instead of trying to catch it because you were afraid of breaking your glasses, I was with you.
Yeah. The biggest.
When life throws onto you a grounder, get behind it. Get under it.
The biggest challenge I had philosophically with Heaven and Hell was the thought of Hitler, because I'm like, all right, well, who's the worst person that we can think of?
Donald Trump. Yes.
Okay, who's the second worst person?
Vladimir Putin.
All right. Who's one of the worst people we can think of?
Tim Wick. You walked right into that one.
Yeah, I did. But so at the time, I was younger, and I didn't yet know how bad I was. So I was like, well, Hitler was a terrible, terrible human being.
Yeah.
And makes sense.
Universally accepted. Yeah,
and it makes sense that he should go to hell if such a thing exists.
Right.
And I'm like, but there were people that were good people that cared for Hitler. And I'm like, how are they going to feel? You know, how's Hitler's mom, who theoretically was a good person, how's she going to feel when she finds out her only son is burning in hellfire for all eternity? And at that point, the logic of hell just became a real problem, because I'm like, well, if it's questionable whether or not it's okay for something that is universally good to send Hitler to hell, then the whole concept of heaven and hell really goes out the window.
Judgment is so subjective, right? Like good and bad is often a matter of perspective, or like who gets to write the history book. I don't know that I could trust anyone to judge me as good or bad, or anyone else as good or bad, even if I think they're bad. Like I don't know their situation, I don't know their perspective. I just know their voting record, I guess.
Well, you will soon.
Yeah.
So the result then is, yeah, an afterlife that has any sort of judgment component just seems inherently problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to have an afterlife, it needs to avoid that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
A dream afterlife.
Yeah, like just
is for everyone. I mean.
So it's more like Sheol, where everyone just goes. In the 80s, you just go there. You're just so it's more of an underworld of a just like a place dead people go.
I don't know if
like
I want to go all
like in the Golden Compass.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's going to suck for Hitler, because there are going to be Jews there, and they're going to be really nice to him. And he's going to be like, why are you so nice? Don't you remember what I did? And they'll be like, yeah, but we're all in the afterlife, and everything's cool here, Hitler.
So then do they kill him? And then, like, he gets an afterlife. Like, is this just layers of layers? Like, is it turtles the whole way down?
Like an infinite stack of turtles?
Or is the next one that we hypothetically make, like, a final place where we're, I don't know, maybe non-corporeal, or the rules are all different, so it doesn't matter. Death is kind of an irrelevant concept.
Or maybe when Hitler died, he just got reincarnated as the Hitler boss in Castle Wolfenstein. Yeah.
See, I think this is my biggest problem with an afterlife in general as a kid was either it's a sorting hat, right? Or, and, you know, good or bad or whatever.
Yeah.
And or
hell is a Hufflepuff.
Or it's everyone goes to the same place. And I've always thought it's like, well, why is it fair if like, let's just bring it down and like hardcore, like let's say you get molested or like something horrible happens to you from someone, why is it fair that you get to have to live with them forever after an afterlife, right?
Like, yeah, I don't like the going to the same place thing, just almost because I think to me the point is like I want momentum. I want to keep moving.
So what?
I don't want to get to a destination. And just like afterlife, even if it was cool, if it was like afterlife is a cocktail party, just an endless cocktail party. I like parties. I like cocktails.
Yeah.
But I don't want to just go to one damn place and be stuck there.
And
that's
like,
bullshit.
And even worse, like, and then like half the people at the party are people that you literally never wanted to see again.
Yeah, starting their phones with their dicks.
So then we're getting into a conversation.
Dicks on phones.
So then we're getting into a conversation about whether or not the afterlife should be segregated.
See, and now we're back to the heaven and hell thing,
because
that's what a segregated afterlife
is. But I think this is
that's
the problem of it, is I think people think about it as the destination. Like, life is the journey, and then afterlife is the destination. Yeah. And I like the idea that of an afterlife that could be just another journey, another mission.
Or a continuation of this one.
And if everyone says, oh, you get to go where you want, well, cool. Like, I guarantee there's a guy who wants to go to the same afterlife as me, and I don't want him there. I do not want that dude here. Like,
I'm
just
sitting right here.
Until death do us part, for fuck's sake.
And on that, it's time for us to move on to five questions. Joseph, you have been guest on our podcast many, many times, and it has been many more times than Laura. I'm sorry about that, Laura. It's just you were out of town for a while.
Yeah, I came back though.
And then yeah, and then we got you back on the podcast, didn't we? It all worked out. So Joseph has answered our five questions, and we've answered his five questions. But we have a new five questions.
Yay!
So we can just start over as if none of this has ever happened.
Beautiful.
So
that was a good intro.
It's like we can go on living, just as you desire, Joseph.
I don't want to be in the same place as you.
So
if afterlife is you asking me weird questions, I'm happy with that.
All right. So Nick, do you have the first question this time?
I do.
Oh, good. Why don't you go ahead?
Which conspiracy theory do you find most interesting?
I like the sort of non-conspiracy theory that everyone who has been accused of the Kennedy assassination were all there trying. And only one or two of them got their shots off, but like everyone was there.
Murder on the Orient Express.
Yeah.
Like, who killed JFK? All of them.
But they weren't working together at all.
Yeah, no. Like, uncoordinated.
It's just like they all were like, you picked the same day?
Yeah, like the Cubans were like, the CIA, crazy. You guys are here too.
How on crazy is this?
This is nuts. Yeah.
They all kind of get done and they walk away together and they all walk up to each other. They're holding their guns. Like, and then it's like the beginning of Laverne and Shirley moment where they open the doors and they look at each other and they just smile. And they go, huh? All right. Molly, question number two.
Question number two. What is your dream vacation if money was no object but physics exists?
I would want to go to a hotel, not like Convergence, but like, because I love Convergence, but like sometimes I'll go to a hotel to go, you know, like do work or do a convention, and I would arrive with my wife, and they would say, the event's been canceled, and you can just sit in this fucking hotel room watching television.
Oh my
God. I never feel that way about Convergence, but sometimes like you go far away and like you just like, oh, this hotel room is so nice and look at the TV and I can order in food. What if I could just sit here?
I used to travel a lot for work and definitely like I get that.
That is awesome. A good vacation. All right, question number three. What is a movie that changed your life?
Star Wars is too easy because that's just it is my life. That sounded weird. Twin Peaks, Fire Walk with Me.
Yeah.
I think it is a movie that not many people liked when it came out, but it opened my mind to lots of different new ideas. And I started smoking, so I became cool for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I was cool for a while.
It was cool for a while.
Well, you started smoking cool right before it stopped. Yeah. Right before it stopped being cool. You started smoking.
Did you watch the so two cool. seasons before Fire Walk with Me?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, I mean, Molly has not seen the seasons.
No, I watched one half of Fire Walk with Me, having never seen Twin Peaks before.
Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Woke up at the end and was like, what the fuck did I just have? It changed me in a weirder way.
No, Molly, that's what happens whenever you watch a David Lynch film. It doesn't really matter. All right, Nick, question number four.
What's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
Ever actually done? Jesus.
Or said.
You know, I think I was talking about this earlier this weekend. I think the geekiest thing that I've done recently is I did a show at Gallifrey One, which is the Doctor Who convention in Los Angeles. And the first year I went, I was concerned that I would not know enough about Doctor Who and people would make fun of me. And it was the total opposite of what I feared as a child. Like, as a child, I was afraid people would find out I didn't know enough about Doctor Who, or I knew too much. And then, so I think that was like my geekiest moment when I was like, I need to like prove my geek cred at a Doctor Who convention.
All right, Molly, question number five.
Question number five, apropos as always, what is your favorite hangover cure?
Time.
The inexorable forward march of time.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's really why I want the afterlife, to get over the hangover of real life.
But there's a cocktail party in the afterlife, Joseph.
Exactly, so I never have to sober up. That's actually the best cure, right? Just keep drinking.
That's
literally
what Dory said.
Literally the exact opposite of Laura's answer. That's
hopefully
amazing.
There's no genetics
All right,
in the afterlife.
Joseph, thank you so much for being our guest. Before we let everyone go, is there anything that you would like to plug, things that they should look out for that you do?
Yeah, you can check out my podcast, Obsessed. I have a Star Wars podcast called Force Center, and I have a show on the Anchor app, which is a really cool kind of radio show app called Headcanon, and you can find me on all the social media is at Joseph Scrimshaw.
There you go. So that's Joseph Scrimshaw. This has been Geeks Without God. This is the second episode we recorded live at Convergence for our fifth birthday.
Yay.
Oh, yeah. We want to thank everybody for showing up and being with us here today. We really love celebrating our birthday here at Convergence. Please do remember that you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, and of course, we do still have that Patreon page where you can help support us and help pay for the brand new recording equipment that we have in my basement that we haven't paid for.
We're trying to go ghost hunting, but ghosts appear to be hard to pin down in terms of their schedule.
Yeah. So one of the things we do for $50, we have a special episode that we're going to record twice a year for supporters and only supporters. And the first one was going to be going on a ghost hunting tour, and we can't fucking make it work. It's like they know.
Yeah.
It's like they just know that we're not.
You'd think the ghosts would want us to prove that they exist, but you'd no. Think.
But no, they won't let us go. So that is it. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you, Convergence. Goodbye.
Bye.
After Convergence weekend, I just want death to be a lot like taking a really long nap.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Fuck you, that was brilliant.
We